I'm Midnight Agent Raw.
And I'm Okame.
We are the Super Media Bros Podcast, and we are founding members of the Odd Pods Media Network. Bats, knights, and spiders. Oh my!
Parker time.
Knife culture. On Halloween.
All that and more.
You ready to take a stab at this episode?
Let's cut her down.
Super Media Bros.
Shit, since it's not themed.
Fuck it. I don't care.
Fuck it, we're doing it live.
Here we are. Right now, at this moment.
Right fucking now. Welcome to episode 145 of the Super Media Bros Podcast. I'm Midnight Agent Raw.
And I'm still lost.
We're fucking lost as shit. Because we don't know what the fuck we're doing anymore. We just came back and said, you know what? We did a whole month's worth of themed shit for October. But now that we're like back, what the fuck has been going on in the entertainment industry or just in general? Because we've been out of the loop for so long.
Answer is not that much.
No, it's really not that much. Everybody's focused on the election shit right now. And we're feeling like we're scraping the bottom of the barrel to bring you anything, with the exception of a couple things on this episode.
There are a couple of keynotes, yes. But after that, it's just, what do we talk about?
And we're going to get the, what do we talk about, kind of out of the way at the top of this, because we're, you know, fashionably late to these two trailers. One of them was whenever the DC fandom was, fandom, whatever the fuck it's called.
Something like that.
We're going to talk about the Batman trailer that dropped, which fucking hell.
All of you out there that are like, oh, Robert Pattinson is Batman. Y'all did the same fucking thing when Affleck was rolled as Batman, and look how fantastic he fucking was.
Affleck. Or is that the wrong one?
The wrong Affleck?
Yeah, Affleck.
I mean, he'll probably need it at this point to get back into Batman role.
This is true. No, we're going to talk about the Batman trailer and just how we felt about seeing it. Because, I mean, obviously, we're late to the party. Everybody else is like, oh, check out our Batman reaction. Or, hey, let's talk about the Batman. Super Media Bros, have we been doing horror movies for a whole fucking month? So now we're going to give you our fucking opinion on the shit. Like, it really matters in the first place, but still. Right off the bat. The duct tape. That's the creepy sound, the way they present it. And then it opens up on this universe's version of the Riddler, which, holy shit, if that's what they're doing with the Riddler, fuck, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before we jump any further, it's apparently been confirmed that this is like Earth 2 Batman. So again, it's absolutely canon with everything else, but just in a different reality, which I will gladly accept.
Which, I mean, kind of leads to the idea of the Flashpoint paradox.
Right. I think what I like about this is the way that the Nirvana song, Something in the Way, is just presented. That's not been used, as far as I know. I don't think that song has been used at all in any kind of capacity for a film or a trailer or what have you. And it totally just kind of sets the tone, because the movie has that bleak look. I mean, Matt Reeves has a very specific shooting style. I mean, if you've seen the last two Planet of the Apes films of the trilogy that had just come out a few years ago, he did phenomenal on the last two. And this looks to be no different. It's very noir-driven, and it's very dark. You know, obviously it's Batman, but still.
Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
I mean, I just enjoyed the one part when he was beating up that one thug, just literally just beating the shit out of him.
What are you supposed to be? Just fucking...
Like, he was relentless in that one, too.
And the last bit, he blew the guy up.
Yeah.
He punched him so hard, he just fucking exploded real quickly. Just
that
like
was the extra of the trailer that we got, personally.
Exactly. But I love the delivery. I'm vengeance. And it didn't like come off like a Christian Bale ripoff. It sounded really like, I'm out of breath, but fuck you.
Yeah. I'm still a fucking badass.
Right. And I think also this is supposed to be, I might be wrong on this one, so forgive me. I think he's only supposed to be maybe his like second or third year being Batman, because there's a shot in the trailer where he gets fucking blasted in the chest with a gun. The Batman we know would not let that happen. So obviously he's still kind of
making mistakes here and there.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm going to like the most about this one, is because we very rarely have seen a Batman that's a little vulnerable in that regard. But also, you can tell with the way Pattinson, it seems like he's going to portray this character, that all that fucking anger and aggression is still, like, just seething to come out with the way he beat that dude up. It wasn't quick and just knocking him out. He fucking wailed on the guy. And then the makeup effects that they've done for Colin Farrell being the Penguin. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. You can't even recognize him. The whole cast looks terrific. The Batmobile looks fucking awesome. Can we just talk about that real fast? Because holy shit.
Oh, I know.
It reminds me a little bit of kind of the TV series Batman, but not quite. It's like the good parts of the TV series from 66, like, you know, the fins on the back of it and everything, but it looks a little more like the 94 animated or the 92 animated series.
It's like a lot of just like callbacks to the past, basically, in this thing.
So what do you think about the suit?
I'm all for it. I mean, there's nothing like out of the ordinary, like extra about it. It's, like I said, pretty much like the Batmobile. It's very, you know, to the point, nostalgic, you know, a couple of throw-ins here and there. So
did you notice anything particular about the bat symbol on it? That's been the big talk, I think, because it looks like the gun that Joe Chill used to murder his parents looks like he's got it melted down into the bat symbol on his chest.
Looking up right now, because I didn't really pay attention to that part.
Yeah, dude, because it looks like a gun, like a broken apart, melded down the gun.
Oh, that was from like the beginning, like when they had those screenshots of him like riding the bat cycle, basically.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it does.
It's fucking legit, man. But yeah, the way they added the orchestra, like, because to finish up with the trailer, though, how they added the orchestral pieces to the song and, you know, the way they revealed the logo was just fucking chilling. And then the way the Riddler was speaking throughout the trailer in certain parts, it looks like there's going to be some pretty high stakes, obviously, but I'm excited to see this finally.
Oh, yeah.
They just resumed production in the UK after having a lot of time away due to COVID, but they just started production back up, I think, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So looking forward to that next year. And then on to Halloween Kills, which was just a 30-second spot, but it definitely packed a punch. Literally, there was like a slice punch looking thing that happened.
Yeah, you get firsthand blood splatter in the camera lens.
Dude, it was like a pizza guy or something. I said no anchovies. And he just fucking slices that dude.
No, actually, it's like, hey, it ain't cut. Okay. How you like it? Diagonal. There you go.
Extra pizza sauce, bitch.
Mm-hmm. No mushrooms? Fuck.
No mushrooms. What did you think about it, though? I mean, obviously, we saw the one where Jamie Lee Curtis was in the back of the truck with her, you know, Laurie Strode with her daughter and her granddaughter riding away saying, let it burn. But in this one, she just, like, you know, when Halloween comes in, like, he kills or whatever, and he picks his fucking mask up off the ground. And there's a couple of shots of maybe like a little small mob scene, an ambulance. Of course, there's the obligatory Jamie Lee Curtis yelling, Michael! In the trailer, because you have to have that.
I think you had touched bases on, like, this is where the whole town is just frustrated with having him.
Yeah.
Like, terrorize everybody.
Yeah, because I remember reading a little thing on Reddit. I think I was telling you about this the other day, where supposedly part of the plot is the town is just tired of it. They're sick of the fucking killings. They're sick of the murders. They find this fucker, and it's kind of like a mob against Myers. But I think he's going to slaughter the shit out of this fucking town. Like, this movie has the makings to have one of the highest body counts in the franchise.
I mean, at this point, he's died so many fucking times. He's been denied all that he wanted to do in the fucking franchise up until this point. So when he's denied what he absolutely has to have, I mean, of course he's going to go fucking ape shit and just take out the whole damn town.
Right.
I mean, hell, I would.
Yeah, I mean, especially after the fact that, you know, this is, you know, part of the direct sequel to the first one. So they've ignored everything else. So it's like, okay, motherfuckers, this is how it's supposed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine it being any different in Halloween Kills. So that's next October, October 15th, 2021. Got to wait a whole ass other year for it. But fuck it. It'll be worth it.
I mean, we waited this long for a lot of shit. I mean, a year is not a big deal.
No, right? And then this year has already felt like it's flown by quickly, so I'm sure we'll be here in no time. Next year, we'll be talking about the movie itself, being like, oh, remember last year?
It felt like yesterday.
It was yesterday. It was pain.
It was pain. That's this whole year. It was pain.
Let's talk about the potential casting of Oscar Isaac as Moon Knight for the MCU.
Now, first of all, like, I'm just all for the idea of them doing a Moon Knight, like, series of some sort. It doesn't have to be a film because, I mean, he's not as iconic as the rest of the Marvel Universe, but
he's still pretty damn popular.
He's an awesome character. I love his, like, costume design. It's basically like a white version of Batman with a hood, and he's pretty much similar to it. But yeah, I mean, I don't mind at all Oscar being cast for it because, you know, like you had said at one point, I think Disney is just like, oh, well, we have Star Wars and, hey, Poe Dameron, hey, you want to be Moon Knight, basically?
Right.
So that would be fun.
Yeah, they don't have to look very far for a lot of their casting anymore. Because, I mean, if they're already got, you know, good rapport with the studio, I'm all about it. I can't imagine it wouldn't come out until like 2022 or maybe late next year.
I mean, it'd be a stretch to say next year, to be honest with you.
So there's some music to talk about. One of these I've actually heard of, but you brought up to my attention. And then one we just discovered together going to get dinner a while ago.
Well, I was actually listening to my Spotify list and they had an artist pop up called The Castlevania. Kind of like a dubstep, electro house sounding combination, basically. And it's obviously, you know, a little bit music, video game inspired. I should say not music inspired because that's pretty much what all it is.
Music.
And it's interesting because if you actually look at the like track listing and everything like that, and the guy, he did music for the John Wick series on the movies and stuff. So when you actually think about that and listen to the music, it's like, okay, that makes total sense. It's very like just jump in your face, like hardcore, like to the point, basically. And it's really awesome growls and shit like that too. But I think Pray for My Enemies and was a Freak, I think, was the other one that I really liked out of that group outside of the, you know, John Wick type stuff. But that was a little bit shorter than the other stuff. But yeah, I dug the crap out of him. He's a really good little, not so known artist per se.
Yeah, and I like what I've heard from it too. I mean, hearing just his stuff in general, I liked it a lot. And I would love to delve a lot more into it, you know, more so than what I've heard.
Yeah, I would say, like I said, just listen to Freak at least, because that's probably one of my favorites by him that I've listened to so far.
Then when we were shuffling Straight Shot Holmes, which we're going to be playing a song of theirs here in a little bit, we were leaving it on, what was it, your Spotify?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so every time you, for anybody out there that doesn't use Spotify, which would be weird if, I don't know a lot of people that don't use Spotify now.
Be weird if you didn't.
It'd be a lot weirder if you didn't. But usually what happens is if you play a song or an album by an artist, it gives you related artist, or you might listen to this one. You might like this person or this band.
Or they're in the same record label. It's like, oh, these artists too are in that same record label.
Right. And there's an artist on there called Banks Arcade. Never heard of these guys before, but they are self-described as like metal boy band. I was instantly fucking intrigued just hearing like the music at first. I was like, okay, cool. The vocalist stuff kicked in. I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Then we both just looked at the damn stereo thing and we were just like nodding our heads like, all right, mm-hmm. I'm buying this.
We're digging this.
Right.
Yeah, because I mean, it's, you can definitely catch the metal part of it, but the actual boy band, it was like very prominent in the very beginning. And then like during like the bridges and stuff, it was pretty cool.
It reminded me of like a less synth heavy version of Young Medicine, honestly, which those guys are fucking phenomenal too. We've talked about them several times. I mean, all these artists that we're talking about, you definitely need to be checking out, because people try to say that rock is dead, and I don't think it's dead. I think it's dormant, and I think that it needs to evolve. Like, I think the next phase of that needs to evolve. Mm-hmm. And artists like Banks Arcade, Straight Shot Home, Young Medicine, like, that's the fucking future. But yeah, the song in question on Banks Arcade, with Banks Arcade, is sick. So right. If you want to check that out and let that be your kind of introduction, then there you go.
And you will not be disappointed by the rest of it. Trust me.
It's sick.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to play a song by our boys from Straight Shot Home. They just released this single 2 Fridays ago. It's called White Noise. And you last heard them on episode 127, The Nemesis of Hollow Ghosts. And I believe Absolver was the song we played on that episode. Yeah,
it was.
But White Noise is fucking, like, I keep saying this, we keep saying this about this band, they keep outdoing themselves with every fucking song that they put out. And going back to the whole, you need to listen to the bands we talk about because they are the fucking future, this band is goddamn, just I hope they go further.
By the rate that they're progressing as far as their production and sound and everything like that, I mean, they're already like star level to me.
Same. And I mean, you can tell that with each release, they put more and more work into it. In fact, I want to say with this song in particular, it didn't like the version that you hear or what you hear as the finished product. It didn't even start out like this. And they went back and they just worked on it more and more. And the production engineer that was recording them, like I'm thinking they had these suggestions or helped them, you know, kind of develop the sound a lot more. In fact, comparatively speaking to their EP we talked about last, I think it was last summer. It was a while back.
Yeah, it was a good minute. It was a hot minute.
But it's just evolved. And I feel like they finally have found their footing. They found their sound and it works big time. All four of these guys just put a ton of effort into each song. And it's not like, no, let's write the song, put it in the can and fucking move on. No, they spend their time and craft it. And it absolutely shows. But yeah, White Noise is fucking awesome. You ready to play this motherfucker?
Hell yeah.
All right, you guys sit back and enjoy this shit. And we'll be back after.
Disturbance fills an empty room. Chaotic stress left to a sound. The hopelessness is never ending. A numbing pain left to consume.
In the White Noise.
I did too. Fucking killer track, guys. Keep it coming. I felt like Carl from Aqua Teen whenever they go to do that, they go to that trivia night or whatever, and they keep answering like Backstreet Boys or NSYNC or whatever, but they bring Carl along for sports help. And he's sitting down. And he's like, yo, 50 hot wings and keep the ranch coming. I'm gonna be fought in blood over here. So yeah, straight shot home. Keep the ranch coming.
I was about to say we're just farting blood, but that makes no sense in this.
Well, you'll fart blood after hearing how heavy some of the shit in their music is, but I'm telling you.
Yep. I can't remember.
My asshole went boom.
I can't remember what episode it was, but I remember talking about an artist or a song that pretty much like went through your ears and went out your sphincter. That's exactly what it reminded me of.
Was it like Sullivan King or some shit?
I don't know if it was Sullivan King or if it was like that Dirty Phonics and Boss Fight track, I think it was. No, it was Boss Fight. You Got Me or something like that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the whole like Tenacious D intro. It's like, if you want your assholes blown out, stay in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for a new podcast? Check out the Infectious Groove Podcast. My name is Russ, and I host the show along with Michelle and Kyle. Every Monday, the three of us bring you music news and tell you our jammy jams, so you'll always have new music to check out. The Infectious Groove Podcast discusses music from nearly every decade and genre while openly displaying our passion for music you need to hear. On top of that, we have a thought-provoking main topic of discussion every week to get you thinking, discussing, and sharing music. We also include interviews with the music stars of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all major podcast platforms. Subscribe and listen to the Infectious Groove Podcast on your favorite podcast platform today.
Let's get to the main event of this motherfucker, dude.
And quit talking about assholes.
That's right. Let's stop talking about assholes and start talking about bullies. Bully Maguire. No, let's talk about Spider-Man 3. And we don't even know what it's going to be called. But it's the third installment of the Marvel Cinematic Universe Spider-Man. It's already started production. But what we know so far is that Doctor Strange is going to be involved somehow, which ties into the Multiverse of Madness that Sam Raimi's directing, which Sam Raimi has directed the first Spider-Man trilogy, which I would think ties into possibly having the multiverse with the Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, because that's the big rumor going around right now, is that they have either signed on sitting in secrecy or they're talking about reprising their roles, because we've already got Jamie Foxx's Electro from Andrew Garfield's universe coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You got J. Jonah Jameson, who is possibly the same J. Jonah Jameson from the Raimiverse. We have seen Spider-Man in the form of the 2002 original trilogy on the wall of a street somewhere in the Morbius trailer. We saw Michael Keaton in that one. There's got to be some tie-in at this point. The characters are being crossed into the Sonyverse too much.
I mean, all being Sony owned at this point, there's no doubt at any level, because now that they're developing the Miles Morales video game and they've already made the Into the Spider-Verse with Miles Morales as the main Spider-Man with all of the other Spider heroes, it's really getting to the point where like they're seeing how popular that concept is, like especially after that first movie came out and how the fan base from the Sam Raimi trilogy is still pretty booming basically. And now they're, you know, obviously memeing everything about it, but they are finally getting to the nitty gritty. Say, okay, now this is where everything's starting to make sense, because they see how Marvel did it with keeping everybody separated up until a point, put them together, and how that exploded. So now they know the formula. They know the madness. They know what to create, and now they're going forward. Sony's sitting there not denying, nor are they confirming, which at this point, when you hear that, that's always the case. It's always going to be that concept of some sort. It may not be the full 100% concept, but it is close to that concept to where it's like, that's a given.
And I think to build upon that, remember when the talks had broken down between Sony and Disney? What if that was part of the deal? It's like, okay, you guys can make the Spider-Man films, but our idea, because eventually, you know, we're not going to have Spider-Man around in the MCU forever. And I feel like this is the perfect opportunity to set it up to where Tom Holland can still be in a lot of the Disney produced Marvel films in the future for like maybe like Avengers or so on and so forth. But this actually opens the door to put him in the Sonyverse just as much as the Disneyverse, because now having the multiverse opened up, you can tap into not confusingly putting him in either franchise.
But now if you really think about it, look at the progression of how Tom Holland's Spider-Man went. You had Iron Man in the first one which he in the Avengers Endgame found out about how to tap into the multiverse, or how to tap into the separate universes, basically.
Right.
Now we have Doctor Strange, who clearly has access to all of that, because in the first Avengers, he literally sat there, or the first of Infinity War, basically. I'm sorry. He told Tony, he's like, you know, I've seen this many realities, but there was one chance. So obviously he knows, like, in all of the different realities, all the different universes, that they exist, basically. So that's more concrete evidence to believe that they're trying to dive into that concept of the Spider-Man universe.
Yeah, and then on top of all of this shit, the WandaVision series on Disney Plus is supposed to tie directly into the Multiverse of Madness, because Scarlet Witch's character is going to be in that film too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine that what started with Endgame, how the misuse and the multiple uses of all the Infinity Gems had to have fucked up the fabric of reality in some way. With all the time travel, all the uses of the stones, Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch possibly breaking more of that fabric open in that film. Who's to say that not just with Spider-Man, but everything? We talked about this before. This might be a great way to bring the X-Men and Fantastic Four into the fucking fold.
Like, they rehashed the product, basically, by saying, like, oh, this is a different universe of the X-Men, not the original one that you're used to, basically.
Right. And it's their way of being like, oh, you know, you might have seen the Fox X-Men, which Disney fucking owns now. Mm-hmm. But they could also bring in whatever Earth version of X-Men they want to fucking bring in.
Right.
And that's the opportunity to recast that. This is also an opportunity to discuss the fact that there are so many Spider-Man villains being put out there and not necessarily killed off, because I don't believe Mysterio's dead. I have every suspicion to believe they are setting up a current / modern version of the Sinister Six. That would be Scorpion, because he was talked to by Vulture, which there's two of them right there at the end of the first film.
Mm-hmm.
You got Mysterio, who, again, I don't think he's dead.
No.
You possibly have Morbius with Jared Leto coming into the fold. And having Vulture appear in that film, that might have a tie-in too. Then you have Electro, which is Jamie Foxx's Electro. And that all brings it down to who the fuck is the sixth one going to be? Because you have the possibility, like you pointed out, of Venom, which I could but couldn't see. It would be really difficult for me to believe a fucking bad guy Eddie Brock after having how he was established in the solo outing.
Anti-hero.
Right, and he's lovable. This version of Eddie Brock is absolutely just a fan favorite, honestly. If you really liked the Venom film, I liked the dynamic they gave between the symbiote and Eddie Brock.
So here's the thing, like, if the Vulture is the one going all out and about to collect all these people together, that would leave out any possibility of people like Doc Ock to be involved in this.
Because
if you think about it, the Sinister Six always had this one particular, like, brain of the operation, and that was usually Doc Ock throughout everyone that we've seen so far. So if the Vulture is kind of taking that reign, per se, of, like, recruiting, or he's actually being told by whoever that sixth member is to recruit.
Norman Osborn.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how they're going to set it up or who they would get to play him. But in my mind, if you're going to go ahead and tap into this multiverse, why the fuck couldn't the Sandman come back? Thomas Hayden Church's Sandman, because he never died. Or you fucked up time and reality so much, because since Electro's coming back, he fucking died too.
Mm-hmm.
Or technically he did. But why couldn't we bring Willem Dafoe's Goblin back in a different form? If Jameson's back, you know, you could go back so far that the death never happened in the original Spider-Man.
Well, hold on a second. When did the second Spider-Man, Far From Home, when did that occur during Endgame?
After.
Okay. Think about it. If James Jonah Jameson came from that multiverse somehow during all the fuckery with the multiverses and the time, the Infinity Stones and whatnot, what if that leads to the idea that more people from other universes somehow came into this reality or this universe?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. There's no fucking way. Like, you could even, on that note even, you could probably bring Alfred Molina back as Ock.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to go that route, the possibilities are fucking endless. And the good thing about bringing back either Willem Dafoe or Alfred Molina as Goblin or Doc Ock you don't have to reestablish those characters because people already fucking know them.
Right.
You won't have to reestablish Jamie Foxx's Electro. People that are familiar with this entire franchise are already going to be like, all right, I've got this dude's backstory. I've got what he looks like. I know what he does. We're good. And I feel like the two Spider-Man films we've gotten already with the MCU were just setting up newer villains we haven't seen yet.
Right.
I mean, the Shocker is still out there. So you could have like all these ground villains and then like the big fuckers.
But see, that's the thing. Like, I was kind of hoping that they would introduce like Kraven to actually be not so much like part of the Sinister Six, but more of like he's the underling, like being told that, okay, we want you to either keep track of the Spider-Man or Spider-Man, depending on how far along, or I should say, keep them in check long enough for them to develop what they need to get going so that way their plans aren't thwarted.
You know, it'd be a really cool idea. Say if they bring Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire in. Who's to say if they introduce Kraven the Hunter? How are you going to put where Maguire and Garfield show up in this universe? Maybe somehow, like when the multiverse cracked open, who's to say Andrew Garfield wasn't being hunted by Kraven? And they just plop in and it's like, whoa, where the fuck? Who the fuck are you? What is this bullshit? Because what if he was hunting Andrew Garfield and he finds Tom Holland?
And mistakes him for Andrew Garfield and say, like, okay, I found my spider. And then Andrew Garfield comes in, you know, does his thing. And then that's how they meet.
Right. I know this is all just like fan casting and just mind spew. But all these are like actually very real possibilities for this franchise.
I mean, there's too many connections at this point, like that makes this, you know, not valid.
The web is thick.
Yeah, like there's too much going on here to doubt that there's that concept is not going to happen. That this reality is not going to happen, basically.
Exactly. God, what would they call it? We haven't. We've kind of, you know, read around the internet how they've jokingly been like Spider-Man homeless. Or like, which would be funny because if he's bouncing around in their universes too, that's another thing that we didn't think about. Instead of them coming into Tom Holland's universe, what if Tom Holland like got fucking shipped into their universes separately somehow?
And that's how Strange gets involved too.
Yeah, I mean, it again, and the whole Sinister Six idea would be to set up like the Sinister Six against the three Spider-Men or whatever the fuck you're going to do. Mm-hmm. But at the same instance, going back to the title of the movie, you know it's going to have home in it somehow because Homecoming, Far From Home.
My homeboys.
Yeah, Spider-Man, my homeboys. Or Spider-Man, way the fuck away from home.
Too far from home.
No shit. Spider-Man, I bought my first home.
My first mortgage.
Yeah, Spider-Man, my first mortgage. Aunt May, how do I fill this out? Peter Parker with his problems. And it's not dating anymore. It's like just the fucking woes of actual reality. It's like, man, I got to get a job. Man, I got to pay out this fucking house. I got to graduate from fucking college now. Because, I mean, this is still a high school Spider-Man. I do know that this is supposed to be a senior year of high school. So technically, Tom Holland is where Tobey Maguire was in the first one, where Tobey was having his senior year of high school, graduating and going off to fucking college.
Or dancing in the streets, we don't know.
Dude, okay. I might be, you and I both might be on the fence, on, you know, this side of the fence for it, but I'm all about the return of Bully Maguire in this bullshit.
Time to throw some dirt in some eyes.
Let's throw some fucking dirt in the eye of the enemy. But, and in what capacity do we see these characters? Because, I mean, Andrew Garfield outside, he always keeps in shape regardless. But I know Tobey Maguire has, like, he's full-on dad now. He's, you know, in his 40s and shit. So what if, you know, he's that Spider-Man kind of how it was in the Spider-Verse film?
Yeah, he's the old, broken-down Peter Parker that loses Mary Jane and just goes into depression mode, basically.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like, dude, we want a rehash of that, but there is a possibility to play off of that kind of, you know, version of his character. He's got so much emotional depth, he could do it.
The more I think about it, I was like, what if they accidentally, in the end, bring in one of the other Spider-Man characters from another universe outside of those three?
Like, you mean someone that hasn't been done before?
Right. Like, I know they're already doing Miles Morales, like, up and down with the next game and with the Spider-Verse, but, you know, it could be possible that they could be introducing another Spider-Man or Spider-Woman at the end of this. For whatever reason, basically. I don't know. But, I mean, it's a possibility, too. Because, I mean, I don't know how many films Tom Holland signed up for and Disney and all that. Or Sony, I'm sorry, not Disney. But, you know, what if it... Let's say, like, what if the three main movies, that's all he signed up for, and whatever spinoff on to other films and stuff like that. What if they're setting up again for like Spider-Gwen or for Spider-Noir or 2099? I had to think about it for a second.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what if they're setting up for like the next level of Spider-Man, basically, like the new one, but someone that's, you know, different from Peter Parker? Just a thought.
I have a thought, and it's kind of out there, but what about Morlun? He's a psychic vampire, but he was also one of the main antagonists in the Spider-Verse storyline, where he's trying to kill every version of Spider-Man.
That would be awesome.
But that's what I'm saying. Because he's honestly one of the more formidable villains that Spider-Man has ever had to fucking like fight. There's been a lot of things like the Spider-Verse and then the Spider-Geddon crossover shit in the comics. And I mean, everybody's wanting Kraven, and I fucking would like Kraven too. But I mean, he's not necessarily like a fucking what you would call like an A-list villain, but he's definitely a formidable one nonetheless.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I wouldn't expect him to be part of the actual Sinister Six or anybody close to that level. It'd be more of just they utilize him for what he's capable of to get their gain out of the situation.
Right. And there was a Spider-Man story called The Other, and Morlun pretty much beats the ever-loving fuck out of him. I mean, badly. And it's one of those situations where, you know, obviously Spider-Man has been given like a partner to fucking work with in most of these films, be it Iron Man or Mysterio to an extent, and then Nick Fury. He's gonna need help, right? Like, no matter what this is, because this universe is becoming bigger than what Tom Holland's Peter Parker is capable of handling at this point. Which I've always been kind of like, why haven't they set this kid up to be like the badass Spider-Man we know? But at the end of the day, I kind of like the idea that he's still learning shit and he needs some help here and there.
Kind of ties in with like how Robert Pattinson's Batman is kind of like the still newbie Batman in the whole, you know, timeline of Earth 2.
Right. Like, he's still becoming what he will eventually be.
Right.
Tom Holland's Spider-Man is becoming what he'll eventually be. But then all this shit right now, we still have the story where everybody knows who the fuck Spider-Man is now.
Mm-hmm.
Which has not been done in a while. I don't think it's even been done on film yet. And now Spider-Man has truly become Tony Stark, because everybody fucking knew who Iron Man was at the end of the first one. So he was supposed to be poised to be like the next leader. You know, he was supposed to be the next Iron Man. And now he really is.
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah, in a spider sense. I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing what it could be done with this franchise and to see the possibilities play out. You have any more theories or thoughts on this shit?
I don't know. I think I've like vomited out a good bit.
Same. I just want to say, give us fucking Bully Maguire one more time. I mean, I know people shit on it, but goddamn, please give it to us. I am begging for that man to walk out of one of Doctor Strange's little fucking circular, you know, portals and just fucking snap and groove and beat the shit out of some people.
I mean, I was just expecting him to like just casually walk by Tom Holland and him do the little slide. And Tom Holland's just like, why have I seen that before?
Or pizza time, even.
That'd be just as funny, too, if he actually did the lines like, hey, it's pizza time. It's like, oh, I forgot.
Fucking face palms.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Spider-Man 3. I mean, I think all of us collectively, listeners, me, Cody, everybody that loves the MCU is looking forward to this shit. Because there for a hot minute, we thought we were not going to get it at all.
I mean, even outside the Sony, Disney debacle.
Give us what we want. I feel like Dave Bautista on Monday Night Raw. Give me what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking screaming and shit.
Him as Drax.
Oh, when he's like fucking stabbing the shit out of that one dude with the fucking two sticks.
Or on the second Guardians in the very beginning, when he's in the stomach, just stabbing his stomach.
Yes. That's how he's trying to get to the pizza.
Pizza time.
Drax the destroyer of pizza. Yes.
That sounds like us.
We are the destroyers of pizza.
Yeah.
All right. So now that we're the Super Media Bros again and not spooky, go buy our fucking merch in the merch store in the show notes below. There's a link to it. Go fucking buy a shirt. Go buy a sweater. Buy a mask. You know, be a hero. Buy a mask. It's not just a catchphrase.
I literally just thought of Super Pizza Pros.
Super Pizza Pros or
Pros?
Super Pizza Pros.
Yeah. Sorry. That was like off topic of you saying like something like serious.
No.
Put on the mask.
Eat some pizza with the mask. Like you smash it against your face.
Nobody knew who I was until I put on this mask.
Nobody knows the sorrow of pizza eating with a mask.
Because now I can't.
Check us out on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. Go listen to us on Spotify. Add us to your playlists and all that shit. Leave us a rating and review on Podchaser. That's all in the show notes below, too. Follow us on our social media handles, damn it.
You know, just thinking of handles reminds me of, like, love handles. I don't know why.
Grab our love handles and follow us on our fucking social media
handles. Grab our love handles, poke and like.
Do any of you still poke on Facebook anymore?
Is that even a thing? It's not a thing.
No, it is a thing.
It's still a thing?
It's still a thing.
Nobody uses that damn shit.
Well, maybe they're using it on us and we just don't know it yet.
That's kind of unsettling.
Poke us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Like our stupid pictures on Instagram. Come look at our stupid pictures, please.
They feel so lonely.
They're always lonely.
No attention.
Coffee.com. That's ko-fi.com/supermediabros. Come donate to us if you feel so inclined.
I was like in the mid yawn when he said that. I was like, that's appropriate. Yeah, give us some coffee.
Yeah, give me some coffee. Give me coffee. We're cheapy. We're tired. Fuck, we're old. It's not even 8 o'clock yet.
Time change is bullshit.
Yeah, we just had time change and now we're fucking old motherfuckers falling asleep before 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock. I gotta get in bed.
Gotta stir my oatmeal for the morning.
I don't know why that's fucking funny to me.
Because it is. Like, I just picture old people that just eat oatmeal for breakfast.
This is so stupid. It's like, yep, I gotta get my oatmeal going tonight so I can eat it tomorrow morning. Gotta
stir it up real nice. You know, slosh it around real good.
Start having dreams and nightmares about it. It's like, oh, don't. It ain't stirring. Oh, shit.
Get my spoon.
Now I'm going to be a regular.
Yeah. There's where the fiber is.
It's too chunky.
Chunky cold Medina.
Chunky old Medina.
Yeah, I'm full of it tonight. We're both full of it tonight. God damn it. What else is there?
What besides oatmeal?
Yeah, what is there besides oatmeal?
There's nothing more than oatmeal out there.
There's nothing more satisfying than a bowl of oatmeal.
Just stir it in your hand.
Just stir it.
Warm bowl embrace.
Oatmeal.
Does an old man good. I ain't got nothing. I'm just going to keep rambling stupid shit
for the rest of this, however long
we have left on here.
I don't know how long. We've been going for 50 minutes. It's probably not even going to be 50 minutes by the time it's said and done, but still, we're talking about oatmeal.
I feel like the last 5 minutes is just nothing but oatmeal.
Let's just do a bonus episode literally talking about oatmeal, just waxing poetic about fucking oatmeal.
It's like true facts about certain food. True facts about oatmeal.
Why would that be interesting? Like, I mean, I'm not saying like, oh God, why would that be interesting? But goddamn, why is it so interesting to me?
Because if we speak of it, then it is interesting. Because we're so stupid that we're going to make it interesting for anybody to listen to it.
Stupid media oats.
Hall and oatmeal.
Fuck yeah. Okay, so that's what we need to do. We need to do a Hall and Oats album review and then eat oatmeal while we're doing it.
I just thought of like people get sick, they have Halls and oatmeal.
They chew it on fucking cough drops. Or they just drop the cough drop in the oatmeal and eat it.
It's like, fuck it. I'm just going to put it in there. I don't have time to chew two things at one time.
They fucking open the box of oatmeal and the flavor packet's missing. And they're just like, what can I put in this? And they just look up in their medicine cabinet and just fucking bag of Halls cough drops.
Lemon and honey oat.
Oatmeal. Sounds good. These oats taste very menthol-y.
I was going to say it's like either that or like blue menthol oatmeal.
That kicks my sinuses real well. Cures my sinuses.
And makes me regular.
We've really lost our minds, everybody.
I'm sure all of you out there are like, what in the fuck are they on? Like, there's no medicinal drugs. There's no fucking anything. It is almost 8 o'clock our time. And it feels like fucking 9 o'clock. We're tired as fuck. We're old people. And we ramble.
Why does 34 feel old as shit? Is it actual age or is it just the shit that you and I, you know what?
I think this year just added like 10 years to our lifespan.
I was going
to
say the same fucking thing.
10 years, I'm sorry.
That's what I was going to say. It fucking tacked on. Like we're 34, but we feel 44.
Yeah. So we're like half a foot more into the grave than we were before. It's like we were just a pinky toe, now we're half a foot.
You're being very nice about how fucking far into the grave we are.
I gotta be optimistic somewhere in this situation. Yeah,
you're right. You're right. God damn it. Thank you guys very much for sticking with us and for listening to us. We really appreciate the support we got over the last couple of months with everything that's been going on. I know we said this last week, but we finally got the tally in for last month's download count, and you guys fucking blew it out of the water. Holy shit. It's been our best month of downloads in quite some time.
So I say, boy, y'all stirred that oatmeal real well last month.
Oh, man, y'all stirred that oatmeal so good, we got to give you 3,000 next month. Why did I go Sling Blade on that one?
I don't know.
I like the mustard and oatmeal. That does sound fucking gross. Should we just get the fuck out of here while we're, you know,
while
should
we're
we just
on
keep
our
this going?
Menagerie of oatmeal speak? Oh, okay, yeah. Let's just...
Like the front half of this episode is just like everybody's like, man, these guys are fucking great. Like, I love these topics. And then the fucking last half of this shit kicks in and it's like, what the fuck happened?
Like, I want what they're having.
I literally watched these, or I've literally listened to these motherfuckers age from the 0.2 second mark all the way until the end of this podcast.
Like, we went from professionalism to like, we're 5-year-old kids in kindergarten.
I think we already are just 5-year-old kids in kindergarten, but we're just disguised as adults.
We pretend to be 34-year-old.
We pretend. We play pretend very well.
That's all part about growing up is pretend.
That's it. Oh, fuck yeah. That's what I forgot to talk about. Next week's Cold Cinema Showdown.
Of course.
We actually got the movies situation lined up, I think, finally. Okay, so it's going to be Amazon Animal Madness because we found most of these films on Amazon just scrolling through.
Amazon Animal Madness. I feel like this should be a triple A. So it'd be Amazon Animal Atrocity. I don't know.
I mean, that's a pretty good. These are not triple A titles by any means of the imagination, but.
Not even close, but we have Arachnequake, Sand Snakes.
Was it Sand Serpents or Sand Snakes? It doesn't matter.
It's a long, like, reptilian creature coming out of the sand. It's a sand serpent. Okay. And the other two, I forgot the names of
House Shark and Tsunami.
You heard right, tsunamis.
Yeah, it's like a tsunami of it. Tsunami. Buzz, 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 sting. House Shark, I did forget to mention that it was picked up for distribution by Cinema Epic, so technically we're going to be revisiting the Cinema Epic.
That multiverse.
Yeah, the Cinema Epic multiverse. Greg, we hope we do you proud on this one, buddy.
Oh, definitely.
So, but yeah, those movies are going to be lined up. And then for the Thanksgiving Cult Cinema Showdown is going to be Blood Rage versus Home Sweet Home, the 1981 version of Home Sweet Home. So get ready to get your stab on this Thanksgiving.
Carve some human meat.
Right. We're not doing anything happy for that. I mean, we're going to do some happy shit we're going to do some happy-ish horror for Christmas, which is going to be fucking funny. Like, we'll announce that title in due time, but fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got, and I think I'm ready to go have my oatmeal now.
Go stir it, you mean?
Ready to slosh that shit around mm-hmm. in a big old fucking bucket with a wooden spoon.
Make a whirlpool of oats.
I just pictured, like, Sharknado, but it's oatmeal and sharks.
Oatnado?
Yeah, shark. Yeah, whatever.
You just see like oatmeal cream just spinning in circles, and you just see like walkers and old people flying around.
And Tara Reid.
Ugh.
Cody just lost his oatmeal.
Yeah, I'm not gonna eat oatmeal now.
Yeah, let's just not go have our oatmeal and let's roll out of this bitch. Thank you guys again for listening. If you've made it this far, we really appreciate it. Got a slew of content coming up for you for the rest of the year that you'll find out in due time. This episode was Vengeance and the Shape of Things to Come, episode 145. Until next week, I've been Midnight Agent Raw.
And I'm Okami.
Shades on.
Bring oatmeal.